Welcome to KSKA's A Closer Look. I'm Len Anderson. On this edition of A Closer Look, we present a profile of the Anchorage School District, as offered by its superintendent, Carol Como. The Anchorage Chamber of Commerce had invited Superintendent Como to describe the district's overall status and what influences were likely to impact the 2011-2012 school term. She appeared at the Chamber's August 29th, Make It Monday, luncheon forum. Chamber Board of Directors Chairman Bill Evans served as moderator.
Carol Como has lived in Anchorage for more than 40 years. She began her service in the Anchorage School District in 1974 with the toughest job of all, a noon duty attendant and a teacher aide at Ocean View Elementary School. Moving into teaching the following year, Ms. Como spent the next 11 years teaching at Ocean View and Spring Hill Elementary, and also serving as the president of the teachers' union for 1 year. Following a one-year internship, Ms. Como was a principal until 1990, when she became the district's executive director of elementary school education. The school board appointed her as ASD's superintendent in December of 2000. She has announced her retirement from this position, effective in June 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Carol Como.
Thank you very much. I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Don Smith, who's one of our school board members who's here. Many of you know we're a large district. We are the 94th largest school district in the United States, and we have over 5,200 permanent employees serving our students. We have over 100 schools and programs and a lot of facilities, 7 million plus square feet of facilities. We serve over 3.3 million breakfasts and lunches every year, and our bus drivers drive over 3 million miles transporting our student. Our overall budget is large, of $830 million, but I wanted to break it down a little bit. The general fund, which is the fund that's the flexible fund that really is what we use for our day-to-day operations, the school board and the administration have the most flexibility with, is $655 million. The food service fund, which is a self-supporting fund that we don't put any local taxpayer money into, is $19 million. The debt service fund is the voter-approved school bonds of $87 million, and then a local, state, and federal grants that have very specific restrictions based on whatever the grant is another $68 million. So those are the four funds. $100 million of the general fund comes right there from the state that it comes in, and it goes right back out to pay for the TERS and PERS, underfunded liability at the state. And I think that's an important figure for you to know, that that is a paper transfer, but we have to account for those funds in our budget. So that automatically raises the number quite high. Our other way to look at it is that the state puts in about twice as much of the funding as the local share. And so you can see from our graph that about $426 million comes from the state of Alaska to support every education, about $203 million from our local taxes. Then we have a slight amount of federal revenue, mostly impact aid and some small amounts. And then in the blue is $5.2 million that the school board did authorize for us to use from our fund balance. We have right around 49,000 students, 49,091 last year. We're projecting a slight increase this year. And as of last Friday, we had 48,443 students enrolled, about 98% of our projection. So we're about 1.53% off of our projected enrollment, and students continue to come in. One of the things I've noticed is there are somewhat fewer military students coming in at this point in time, and so we're in close contact with the military trying to see if that's because of future deployments coming up or if that is a trend, and so we will be monitoring that. 52% of our student population come from different minority groups. 1 in 3 students are considered low income. In other words, they qualify for free and reduced lunch. And one of the things we've seen in Anchorage over the last few years is an increase in our student free and reduced lunch applications as the economy has changed. And many more of our parents are in service sector jobs that are needed, 2 or 3 service sector jobs sometime to help their families. 9.6% of our student population are military, and they're spread in every single school in the district, including Girdwood. They're everywhere, and we're really proud of our close working relationship with the military. 14% of our students qualify for some level of special education services, and our students last year spoke 94 different languages. Another way to show the diversity of our students. When I started in the district, the minority student population was just about 26%. Last year, it was 53% of our students. And what the fastest growing group is two or more races. And what happened a few years ago is everyone was required to reclassify themselves, if you will, employees as well as the students. And so many more of our students are checking the multiracial category because we have a growingly multiracial population. The Alaska Native population is 9%, but our Asian Pacific Islander population is at 15%, Hispanic 10%, and then the Black population continues to be right around 6%. We see this as a strength. We really are proud of the fact that we are an international school district within what we call an international city. And we see that that brings many strengths. Our children are really going to school every day with students from all over the world. And I think that will prepare them very well after they graduate high school. But it has presented some challenges because, as many of you know, as we become more ethnically and culturally and more diverse in the religious beliefs, it's definitely changing the way we do some things. And that's been an interesting dialogue out in the community. And we've worked very closely with Bridge Builders and our Multicultural Education Concerns Advisory Committee and other community groups to help them navigate through our system. Many of our families come from countries, if they've come from overseas, where they're not active participants in their children's education. They're just basically told what to do, when to do it, or not to be involved at all. And that's very different than our view of parental involvement and community engagement. So this has presented some challenges to some of our families, but I think that it's really the wave of the future.
You're listening to A Closer Look, a program where we have a chance to broadcast in a fuller version events, issues, and presentations that have appeared in shorter KSKA news stories. In this closer look, we're presenting extended highlights from School Superintendent Carol Como's recent talk to the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Later in the program, we'll also include several of the questions that followed. After describing student demographics, Como turned to the wide variety of educational options the Anchorage School District offers, sometimes at the expense of the reputation of mainstay neighborhood schools.
We have outstanding neighborhood schools, and I think sometimes people think that because we offer so many choices, that means that there's something wrong with our neighborhood schools. And I will tell you, I do not believe that is true. I think one of the strengths of our district are the choices, but I also think that a lot of people don't always give their neighborhood schools a chance to show what they offer within their own student population, where kids can be at school with their neighbors and with their friends. So we do offer a range of charter schools, optional, open optional schools, ABC, back to the basics, our language immersion programs, and then we also have a Montessori program at Denali. We have many and growing number of online and self-paced classes at all levels. We have a large number of AP courses that are fully accredited, and a number of our students take additional advanced placement classes. We have international baccalaureate at West High School, and a lot of our credit recovery and remediation programs are online now so that we aren't waiting till students fail at the end of a semester or at the end of the year before we can intervene and hopefully get them back on track so they can get back into the regular classes. We also are working on some flexible scheduling, particularly at the high school, so that if students do better coming later and they can go later, many of our teachers now are teaching either an extra period with compensation or they're coming an hour later and then working an hour later in order to flex the schedule. And that's been a wonderful choice for a number of our students. As you know, the community was very supportive of our Proposition 3 to really enhance our career and technical education. We are working very closely with the state. They have a career and technical education plan, and our board has asked us to bring recommendation of an Anchorage School District career and technical education plan for approval to them this school year. But we already are working closely with the state and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. So even though we don't have a formally adopted plan, each of our middle schools, each of our high schools is working very closely with Rick Rios, our supervisor for Career Tech, on how it works within the state plan and how we're enhancing more opportunities for young people, because we know there are a lot of our kids who are not going to college. And even if they are, there are a lot of them that really want more hands-on, problem-based learning. And so our career tech efforts, I think, are really advancing at quite a quick pace. And I truly appreciate the support of the voters in approving that bond last spring. We're also trying every way we can to make sure that we're teaching our students for the 21st century. We know that technology is pervasive everywhere. We need to make sure their learning is preparing them for the 21st century. One of the things that comes back, and I think it's very gratifying, is that most of the parents that we get input back are very, very confident in the staff. They're very appreciative of all of the staff, the teachers, the principals, our support staff, everyone, because they know that people are committed to getting their children an excellent education in a safe environment. We know that they're more knowledgeable about their kids' school, and then they get a little further away. They're not as supportive of the district, and then, of course, you get further away. And I think that's a national trend. The more you know about a place, I think the more satisfied you are. I think one of the things that we're very proud of is that I think the vast majority of parents know their children are safe at school. We are so proud of our school resource officer program with the Anchorage Police Department. It has been a phenomenal partnership for the last many years. Our officers are just considered now as a part of our staff, keeping our schools safe for teaching and learning. The other thing I think that we expanded last year, General Palumbo, when he came to Anchorage, really wanted to formalize partnership with the Army at that time. It was before J-Bear. So we signed a formal partnership agreement last August with him. In fact, later in September, we're going to re-sign it, only it's going to be a J-Bear joint partnership, because he and Colonel Evans are very interested in expanding this military partnership across J-Bear. What General Palumbo said was that when he had a lot of soldiers who'd come back and from deployment, and they were really having some time to get back into the mainstream, and they felt one of the most important things they could do was to show their skills and get involved with our schools. We've had soldiers coming in to our schools and helping young people with reading, their tutoring, they're helping with some of our field days and the technology skills they bring. They've just been an amazing partner. So they're also mentors for young people. They're not there to recruit anyone to the military. They've also been very active with us with the Parent Involvement Program. And what we've found is many of these soldiers have had experience in Department of Defense schools. And so many of them have never been part of a municipal school district, if you will. And so it's a very different relationship. But I think they feel much more comfortable. They know that we include those schools in our district just like we do everybody else. And it's been a very strong a partnership. The leadership training, obviously, with our JROTC program is very strong in our district. Every high school, comprehensive high school, has a JROTC program, and many of you have probably gone to some of their events or seen them about, but it's another opportunity for leadership training.
This is KSKA's A Closer Look, today featuring Anchorage School Superintendent Carol Como's appearance at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Before turning to the question and answer portion of her talk, we present Como's description of the latest student graduation and performance statistics from the Adequate Yearly Progress Report.
Every school district in the country is required to calculate graduation rate two ways. And so this year, for the first time, we have a four-year cohort group. We are very proud of the fact that almost 72% of our graduates in 4 years graduated. We've got a long way to go, don't get me wrong, but we really saw an increase. And I think it's really because of the efforts of our staff and the students and their families working with us to continually push graduating from high school with a high school diploma. And I don't want to put down a GED, that's second best. But what we've found is that when students have a high school diploma, that just opens up more opportunity. In fact, the military now is not accepting students with a GED. And that was something that they changed a year or so ago. And that was very surprising to a number of people, except in very specific areas. If they have a shortage of applicants that have a high school diploma, they will consider someone with a GED. So that was very different information for our high school counselors and a number of families. The other thing, we are still very focused on students, even if they take an extra year or two to get that diploma. We'd rather they stay in school so we can keep supporting them to get that diploma. So our five-year graduation rate with a diploma is almost 76%. For us, that's a success story, that when in May, when those students walk across the stage at Sullivan Arena and other places, they really have a ticket to success. We've got a long way to go, but considering our mobility, the poverty rate in our district with so many young people under economic stress, needing to help their family, we are trying to keep them in school and not dropping out. Our adequate yearly progress, we did slip a little bit on our language arts and our math, and we're analyzing that data at every single school right now. The state of Alaska, as you know, is required to put together an accountability plan, and this year the bar went way up on both language arts and math. Next year, there will be another one, and then by the year 2013-14, 100% of our students in not only Anchorage but the United States are supposed to be proficient in language arts and math. So every year, that AMO, is the measurable objective, goes up. We have a lot of frustration with this law because it's a one-size-fits-all. We think it's a very punitive law, though the intent, don't get me wrong, the intent is laudable. We absolutely agree that every child needs to be making progress. And one of the things the board feels very strongly about is that every student needs to make at least a year's growth during a school year. We need to do better. We need to help our young people. But we also need to remember that if a school misses one or two targets out of 31, they're not a failing school. And the law, as it is, if you miss one of 31 categories in a subgroup, your whole school's deemed to be not making adequate yearly progress. We think it sends a negative message to all the hard work of the staff and the students and their families when a school is portrayed in that manner. We will be starting in the next few weeks our initial discussion of our budget going forward for the year 2012-13, which begins July 1st. The gap right now is projected around $30 million based on flat state funding, the loss of a lot of federal funding, and also relatively flat funding at the municipal level. So those are assumptions we'll be working through with our school board and the community over the next many months. I put a question mark on bonds because a couple of members of the assembly are talking about a bond holiday, and I don't know how that discussion is going to go with the municipality or with us, but I know that with over 100 facilities to maintain, the only way that Anchorage can really renovate our bigger buildings and really do some substantial upgrades is through the bonding process, which we qualify for 60 or 70% debt reimbursement from the state. We have an outstanding $21 million grant sitting in Juneau for Service High School that we have to provide a $9 million match. And when the bond went down last spring, we know a good part of it was related to the auditorium. And so we are looking at that whole project again. The $21 million that the legislature and the governor have already signed and approved does not include the auditorium. And so we need to revisit that. But if there's a bond holiday, then that would put that project back even further, and the costs will continue to go up. Career and technical education I spoke about briefly, but it is a major initiative of the school board and our administration. We're seeing great success with not only our construction academy, but also our health academy and our engineering academy. We have a number of efforts going on at every single comprehensive high school and middle school. K-8 math, many of you have already heard the math wars. We have the reading wars and we have the math wars. One of the things I'd like to say is that for this year, we will be continuing with our current math curriculum. If the board decides to direct us to look at a new program, then we will have to go through a full curriculum review process. One of the things that we are going to be doing this year is really addressing the recommendations of a major audit from the Council of the Great City Schools that really talked to us about how we need to enhance our professional development for our teachers, how we need to better communicate and support parents in helping their kids, and how to understand our mostly everyday math program, because it's very much different than most of us learn, but it's conceptually based. Schools that are implementing it well are doing very well with it, but there's a lot of complaints about it, legitimate complaints, and we are really looking at that whole effort.
School District Superintendent Carol Como talking to the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce at its Make It Monday forum about the current issues facing the city's school system. You're listening to KSKA's A Closer Look. With the prepared remarks section of her time concluded, Chamber Board Chair Bill Evans presented questions from the audience.
We had the governor here laying out his whole state plan several weeks ago and didn't have this many questions. I guess the first question is, any chance that your retirement announcement is similar to Brett Favre's? And
No.
From what I understand, the budget for the school district has more than doubled in the past 10 years to over $800 million, but the student body has remained relatively stable for the past 8 years, and the graduation, you can't say that to it, has stagnated at 50% for the past 10 years. Why is that?
Well, first of all, the graduation rate has not stagnated for 50%, so I would hope that could be corrected. It's not true. We have added a number of schools to the district in the last 10 years. We've opened two high schools. We've added full-day kindergarten at 13 schools. We've added six charter schools in those 2 years. We've added elementary health and PE teachers to accommodate not only extra planning time for our elementary teachers, but also the whole physical fitness wellness policy. And I could go on and on. So yes, we have increased our staff. School Budget Advisory Commission, actually, a few years ago, was criticized us heavily on not having enough support for our technology. If we were going to add all this technology, we needed to have people supporting it so it would keep going and being used. And so we've added a number of tech support staff to assist with that. So we have added a number of employees to support the instructional program.
Carol, thanks for your service. The question reads, looking forward 10 years from now, what is your best guesstimate for the dollar increase or the percentage increase for the school budget?
I really don't have any idea. I really don't.
That's somebody else's problem, right?
Yeah, that's true.
What suggestion would you give the person that follows you to decrease the budget but keep the quality of for the students' education?
Well, I'm not sure I'll recommend decreasing the budget, but I will tell you that I will be telling this person how important it is to listen carefully to the concerns of the community about the rising cost of education in Anchorage, because I know it's very controversial. I also believe, and this is my personal opinion, that somewhere along the line, we need to not have the full local share on the property taxpayers. I believe very strongly, and when I retire, I would love to be active in some kind of an effort to diversify the tax base. What that looks like, I have no idea, but I just think it's wrong that the property taxpayers are the only people paying for the cost of the local share in Anchorage. I think a sales tax or some other kind of revenue source would be very helpful.
Can you tell us what the positives and the negatives are of breaking ASD into two or three smaller districts?
You know, I hear that a lot, especially when it comes to the Chugiak Eagle River area. I know that at one time they did secede from the municipality. I could see if that was something that that area wanted to do, I could see them having a very viable school district. I also think that we care deeply about those schools, and so we enjoy having them as part of the district. I think if you divide the district up into smaller pieces, you would have more bureaucracy than you do now. You would have three superintendents, you would have three school boards, you would have three of a lot of things. I think overall we do fairly well of keeping all of our schools in mind. So I don't think it would really, in the long run, really solve a problem. But I don't see a problem exists with the size of our school district right now.
The state has a revolving fund for government-owned buildings for upgrades and energy efficiency. Is the school district taking advantage of this?
Yes, I believe my staff has been in contact with the staff at the state, and I know that we already have an energy management program. We put into the budget an administrator that should be paid for by the savings and the energy costs. I'm really monitoring what we're doing. Our newer buildings are very energy efficient. Our recycling efforts are paying off and reduced waste and tonnage and all of that. So we think that that's an effort. We are doing everything we can to maintain our buildings at a high level. The trouble is that when you have major roof replacements and those kinds of things, we believe, and the state believes, that those are appropriate for debt reimbursement and bonds. But the board has started a fund that we can add some major, major maintenance projects to decrease the number of projects that we might be putting on a bond at a future date, because we see the need to not only be energy efficient in our buildings, but also keep them up to date.
Can you share your perspective on whether the state of Alaska should apply for the newly announced waivers for the No Child Left Behind provisions?
Well, I absolutely support that, and I have communicated that to the commissioner. I believe that the more flexibility Alaska can have, because there's Anchorage, and then there are all the other districts that are so much smaller, and No Child Left Behind does not fit. Rural Alaska has been struggling, and I know Senator Murkowski, we've worked very closely with her and her staff on this whole area, so I do believe that it's appropriate to ask for the waiver.
Hospitals have wards and floors for specialties like maternity, surgery, ICU. Why wouldn't the Anchorage School District do the same with specialty schools to better meet the special needs of the students in the most economic means possible?
We have always embraced, since 1975, when the first special education law came into being, that we need to serve all of our kids, and some of them need quite intensive and expensive services. The state of Alaska has frowned upon isolated schools, if you will, but we do have the Whaley School for students with serious emotional disturbed students who really need extensive support for their behavior issues. We also have a program called the Alaska State for the School of Deaf and Hard of Hearing, but we have incorporated it, the three programs, within three schools, and it's been very successful. But I think there's pros and cons to seeing if a certain school would just have one population, but then the benefit of learning about all kids, I think, would be diminished for all of our students, because we have people with disabilities all throughout our community, and I think it helps to have our students going to school with them each and every day so that they can realize the diversity in our population.
The next two questions deal with everyday math. You already touched on it, but I wanted to let you know there were some questions about it and give you the opportunity to say if there's anything more you want to say on the subject. But the questions are basically, what is the plan for moving forward and handling the everyday math program, and also when are you going to recognize it doesn't work?
Well, I will recognize it doesn't work for a lot of kids and families, but I also will recognize it works very well for a lot of kids and families. That's the dilemma. There is no question that the report that was done, it reinforced what I think most of us know, that when you have a stable school population and you have teachers who have taught and have really embraced the program and are able to teach it with the way it was designed, it's very successful. Many parents hate it because it's very different than we had when we were in school. In fact, the people that hate it the most that I hear from are engineers and people who are very successful with math, and I hear it all the time. I was down at ConocoPhillips about a month ago, and that was the one thing they wanted to talk about was everyday math. But I also know it is not as successful with schools that are highly transient, when we have rural to urban movement back and forth for kids and parents who don't speak English very well, and academic English is very difficult. It's very frustrating. And so we need to look at our professional development. What can we do to assist our teachers? But the board is grappling with that issue, and I fully expect this year sometime they're either going to say, let's keep what we're doing, or we want you to do a full-scale review and come back with a different recommendation. So I'm open to that, but it is a dilemma because it really is a split, not only amongst our staff, but among the parents and the students.
Well, for 38 years of service to the Anchorage School District and a wonderful presentation today, please join me in thanking Carol Como for her remarks.
Carol Como, Anchorage School District Superintendent, appearing before the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce at its last Monday luncheon before the Labor Day weekend. Chamber Chair Bill Evans was moderator. This has been A Closer Look, a production of KSKA-FM Anchorage. I'm Len Anderson. Thank you for listening.